Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Dew, and today's date is Tuesday, December 18th, 2012, and here's a little look at some of our top headlines.
Tonight, Connecticut police say they will prosecute anyone spreading information about the Sandy Hook shooting that has not been approved by the so-called authorities.
One thing that's becoming somewhat of a concern, and that is misinformation that's being posted on social media sites. These issues are crimes. They will be investigated statewide and federally, and prosecution will take place when people perpetrating this information are identified.
Meanwhile, Facebook has begun suspending user accounts that question the official narrative as more and more evidence of a second and possibly third shooter emerge. That's up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Before we get into this latest update of the Connecticut shooting and all the things that are going along with it, like the gun grabbing and the demonization, I want to get into this story out of Zero Hedge that came out on the 15th. The headline reads, QE4, folks, this ain't normal. What you need to know about the Fed's latest move. And it goes through a lot of different signals that the writer here at Zero Hedge was looking at. He's saying stocks, you know, aren't reacting the way they should. Gold should be way up, and it's not. And he says here, the markets are now truly broken, not because they don't conform to my predictions, but because they're no longer sending useful price signals. Instead, my hypothesis here is that the markets are just a giant rigged casino where a relative handful of big firms and tightly coupled players are gaming their orders to take advantage of this flood of money. And what is the flood of money? Well, it's now gone from $40 billion a month to $85 billion total that the Fed is throwing in there, what they're calling QE4. And this is basically to accumulations of treasury bonds and to prop up mortgages. And basically it's meant to keep mortgage prices going up so more homes get built, and they think that will lower the unemployment rate. But it's doing it with all this false money, and there's a graph there of the number of jobs that it will take to recover the 4 million jobs that have been lost since right before 2000. Looks like 99 going into 2010. We've lost about 4 million jobs. We're not gaining those jobs back. We're getting very little of that coming back in. And the central bankers are, in effect, conducting a high-stakes experiment. And basically what all this is from, back in the 70s and 80s, MIT professors were creating all these formulas and stuff, and these were the guys at Wall Street who are now running Wall Street, and they're basically taking their professors' thinking and putting it to use by printing money out of thin air because it's easy to do, and they know how to rig the system, so they're getting that money and using it to their advantage. So we're now into QE4, folks, and it only took what? It just took this year to get to there. Now I want to move on to the Connecticut police and what's going on there. I've looked at a lot of evidence today, and I firmly believe there is a second person, maybe a third person involved in this that we haven't heard a word from except for day one when they don't have everything tightly controlled. But first I want to go to Lieutenant J. Paul Vance, who put out a press release today saying they'll prosecute anyone spreading info not giving out by the Connecticut police. And let's go to that video.
One thing that's becoming somewhat of a concern, and that is misinformation that's being posted on social media sites. These issues are crimes. They will be investigated statewide and federally, and prosecution will take place when people perpetrating this information are identified.
Yeah, so you ask questions on the internet, you analyze the video that the mainstream media has put out, you look at witness testimony, and then you put that on your social media network site, well, now we're going to prosecute you. And it's basically already started. Facebook suspends account for questioning official narrative of shooting. And this is from Paul Joseph Watson. This came out today. Facebook is suspending user accounts that question the official narrative behind the Sandy Hook School massacre following a warning by Connecticut State Police spokesman J. Paul Vance that misinformation posted on social media sites would result in prosecution. And what did they suspend this user's account for? And this is from Secrets of the Fed. This is their account. There it is. This just in, Adam Lanza, a clumsy 20-year-old autistic kid dressed in camo and full body armor who never shot a gun before, well, we're not sure about that, drives to another state, gets into a locked school looking like Rambo, kills 26 people with dead-on accuracy at a school his mother, a retired teacher who no one ever heard of before, used to work years before, and allegedly killing her with a gun that belonged to her in the first place, then takes his own life. That's the news, and people will blindly see it or believe it. Yeah, I mean, that looks a little weird. There's some stuff in there that's not quite accurate. He did live with his mother. He was actually probably posting stuff that said Adam or Ryan Lanza, who lived in Hoboken, New Jersey, drove to the other state. And then that all got cleared up because there was a lot of stuff coming out in the beginning that his mom worked at the school, that it was Ryan Lanza because he had his ID in his pocket. Well, let's look at what Fox News posted on that day. And it says, second Connecticut school shooter suspect in custody. CBS News reports that a potential second shooter is in custody and that SWAT is now investigating the home of the suspect. Miller reports that the authorities have gone to a home connected with an individual in custody after seeing what appeared to be a body inside. Witnesses tell WSFB that a second man was taken out of the woods in handcuffs wearing a black jacket and camouflage pants, telling parents at the scene, "I did not do it." And now I want to take you to a video that I put together today after I've been searching the internet all day, mainly looking for explanations of who this guy was that the police handcuffed and brought out of the woods there seems to be no mention of him anymore. It's just like, hey, you know, whatever, we got one guy, that's all we need. So this video starts off with some overhead helicopter footage with a correspondent talking about how they've confirmed reports that they from the state police that they have a second guy in custody. Then it goes to a little boy who was in the school when it happened, and as they were leading him to the firehouse, he saw a man on the ground with his hands cuffed behind his back. Then it cuts to a older gentleman who was there. He watched him bring the guy in out of his handcuffs. He even points to him. He says he's right over there in the police car, and he says he was wearing a black jacket and camo pants. Then it's going to cut to some overhead helicopter footage that didn't have any sound to it. So the sound I put was some sound from a police scanner going on that day recorded of cops basically getting reports of two shadows that were seen running along the gym wall. And then you can hear the cops chasing two suspects. And then later on, which I didn't capture that and put that in there, you could actually hear him say, "We have a man down prone." But the video goes, it continues on, and there'll be no audio, and I'll talk over that. And you can actually see the cops up in the woods surrounding a guy who's on the ground. Okay? We haven't heard word of this person. So, Lieutenant John Paul Vance, or J.P. Vance, whatever your name is, we have questions. We want to know who this guy is, and how come you haven't said a word about him since this incident? How come since day one there's reports of him, and now it's like he never existed? Was this a government agent? Who was this guy? Who has such magical powers that they could be arrested by police on the scene of one of the worst mass shootings in history, and we never hear a peep of him? How is that possible? I want to know. Let's go to the video.
It's believed at this hour, and it's been confirmed to ABC News by state police there in Connecticut, that two shooters were initially believed involved in the mass shooting. One of those shooters, now dead. What's not been confirmed is whether or not that gunman took his own life or whether or not there was something that ensued after authorities began arriving at the scene.
So we ran out. There's police about at every door. They're leading us down this way, quick, quick, come on. And we ran down to the firehouse. There's a man pinned down to the ground with handcuffs on, and we thought that was the victim. We really didn't get a good glance at him because he was, like, there's a car blocking it.
They did walk a guy out of the woods. I saw him walk a guy earlier with handcuffs. And he walked by us and said he didn't do it.
It was a grown man.
A grown man, yeah. He's sitting in the front of the police car over there now. So, I mean,
he didn't have a gun?
No. I didn't see any gun. Just had him handcuffed. And he walked by us and looked into parents' eyes and said, "I didn't do it."
How was he dressed?
Camo pants with a dark jacket.
Shooting appears to have stopped. It is silent at this time. The school is in lockdown.
679,
Crestwood. Roger. I have reports that the teacher saw two shadows running past the building, past the gym, which would be rear high base. Near shooting.
Yeah, we got them. They're coming at me down Crestwood. Come up the driveway, left side.
6, this is it.
Bennett, you're requested to stage Methodist Church, St. Oak Center. I will need 2 ambulances at this time.
Sorry, Daniel, let's have him stage.
Acknowledge, we don't have any additional crew on station.
So there, and you can see there right under the word shooting, as it's going to pan up, and you're going to see the cops standing around a man who's laying on the ground. There it is right there. You can actually see the man next to the tree. You can see the cops all around him. But what are we supposed to believe? We're supposed to believe that man doesn't exist. We're supposed to believe that 2 witnesses who saw this man, and notice how the older gentleman, he said the guy is sitting in the front of the police car. Why would they put a suspect in front of the police car? Did this guy have some major credentials that he gets to sit in the front of the police car after he's caught after a mass shooting and they lead him down in handcuffs? Who is this guy? Who is this amazing person who has these magical powers that he could be at the scene of a crime, be handcuffed, and we never hear another word about him through the mainstream media? And they probed every other detail of this case over and over again. And, you know, they acknowledged they made the mistake calling him Ryan Lanza when it was Adam Lanza. They've acknowledged the fact that his dad wasn't dead when they said he was dead. But nothing about this guy, nothing like, oh, we made a mistake, there was no second person, because there was a second person. And if they don't want to talk about it now, we should be asking those questions and we should be forcing the issue. In fact, we should make a White House petition. If the president's going to use this as political collateral, we should know who this second guy is. We should see his picture. We should see his name. We should know who he is. He was arrested at the scene of this crime. Why can't we know that? This harkens back to the shooting in Colorado with James Holmes. And we're going to go now to a video of Alex Jones. This is from July 20th, 2012. Alex breaking down the shooting where he calls it a false flag. Let's go to that video now.
It is Friday, the 20th day of July, 2012. And if you look at the full spectrum of information unfolding right now, 100% chance that the mass murder committed in the suburb of Denver, Colorado, right next to Littleton and Columbine, was a false flag mind control event. Of course, my quotes are on record from back in earlier in this month when I put a review out, 3 weeks ago or so, of The Dark Knight. And in that, I basically break down the fact that it is a weaponized propaganda psychological warfare system with subliminals commanding people to be in fear of terrorism, but also generating feelings of terror as a Hegelian dialectic event. Now, that 9-minute analysis is up at Infowars.com right now. Now, yesterday, the makers of the film ordered the video taken down, even though we used the trailer, small clips, it's all fair use. We're analyzing it. They ordered it taken down. Now, normally, the computers would do that instantly when a video came up. If it really had copyrighted material, it's already set in the YouTube systems to recognize it and automatically. Your video never goes live because it says copyright claim. We counterfiled and the block was taken off, so the video is available right now. Paul Watson wrote an article that was up at 6 a.m. Eastern this morning that was the first article to predict that Bloomberg, Chucky Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and the usual suspects would come out and call for restricting the Second Amendment further, as they've done in Chicago and New York with total bans, thus creating hellish crime waves that dwarf what happened even on a weekly basis in Denver. There are more deaths in Chicago every week than what just died in the suburb of Denver. And sure enough, those reports have all now come out as the establishment calls for it. ABC News, the New York Times, Bloomberg himself, Bloomberg Publication, all the usual suspects, people that want to run your life, people that want to make you defenseless, so that somebody dressed up, by the way, in a Bane outfit, that's what he was wearing, a gas mask, came in there, and of course, with so many of these shootings, they're wearing masks. And then they find the drug-addled suspect later, just like Sirhan Sirhan. That's even mainstream news that the RFK shooter, the police's own report said he didn't shoot him, wasn't the same caliber. They held his hand down, and it was his, quote, security detail behind him that shot Robert F. Kennedy in the back. And that's London Telegraph, Associated Press, Reuters, L.A. Times. That's now admitted. Sirhan Sirhan's lawyers are trying to get him out of prison with that defense. So this stuff goes on. They've got drugs they can give you, which make you close to 100% suggestible. In fact, you've seen this in the news where they've got flowers down in South America that you can give somebody and tell them, you know, put your hand in the meat grinder, drown your baby. In fact, I've got to get with my writers and have them explain that they've got drugs that make you, they say, 100% suggestible. I mean, not everybody's susceptible to this stuff. Some people have different effects with different drugs. But the point is, it's close to 100%. The military, it's declassified, uses this and then programs. Or they just drug somebody and then tell them they did the shooting and have them all set up. Columbine, we know, was a false flag. I'd say 100% false flag, and I'll explain why on the other side. You see, even if this was just an organic shooter, they were mass programmed by the culture that sells all this. I don't just get on air and say something's a false flag, a self-inflicted wound, a staged event. Because not all events are staged. But when you have the UN treaty set to be signed in the next week or two, Obama's not been clear. He said late July, early August. And they're talking about even if Congress doesn't ratify it, they're going to try to implement it somehow. It's just the right thing to do. Even though Congress won't do it, I'm going to implement it. Kind of like he's done with carbon taxes. They're only a couple votes shy in the Senate of being able to ratify the UN small arms ban treaty that even Forbes admits registers all your guns and then allows for confiscation. I had Bob Dacey in yesterday reading from the UN and from the treaty writers of how they would implement and what it meant. And saying in those documents, that video's up at Infowars.com, the history of UN gun control, gun restrictions is the name of the video. That they say at the end, we're going to use this as an arms treaty, so it's legally binding, to go after individual firearms. So you've got that coming up in the next 2 weeks. Just like they were trying to pass more gun bans in 99, and then magically Columbine happens in April, 1 week before the votes. We're talking miles from where this happened. You've got all the other issues. The guy's always wearing a mask. Whether it's these staged events the Russian government's been caught doing to bring in police state shootings. You have somebody drugged up. Your people do the shooting. Then they disappear. Then they grab the patsy. The patsy's drugged out of their mind. Or sometimes, just like the underwear bomber was gotten on the plane by the State Department, that's C-SPAN. That's the Undersecretary of State admitting an unnamed agency told us give him a visa, even though he didn't have a passport, get him on the plane. We had a witness day one, Kurt Askell, the lawyer, who saw this happen. And then a month after he told us here on the air and broke that, it got confirmed. Underwear bomber, gotten on the plane by British intelligence. Head of the 7-7 bombing, a SWAT. On record, MI6, London Telegraph, Fox News. Amir al-Awlaki, number three in Al-Qaeda, hanging out secretly at the Pentagon. Fox News, AP, Reuters. My point is that I worked with Watson right before we went live on air. We're doing another article right now breaking down the 10 points that directly link this to false flag. Because there's at least 10 of them. And this is where the shadow government is based, is in and around Denver. They control the police there. Harrison Kleibold of Columbine reportedly got 127 bombs. That's CBS News. Look it up. Into the building that day, the school was half empty. The police stood down. The police didn't respond for hours. People reported up to four different shooters. They wouldn't release the tape for over a year and only released selected clips, and then they were wearing masks. They'd shot a video of attacking the school months before that was school-sponsored. Their parents were both in high-level black ops. They were both on serotonin reuptake inhibitors. It all had the same MO of a black op, of a staged event. And remember, Sirhan Sirhan, the LAPD and the coroner said didn't shoot RFK, and it did come out who shot him with his security detail, who was known CIA who'd been assigned to the detail that day, behind him with a different caliber. The audio acoustics, all of it, the witnesses. Saran Saran was given an amnesiac. They give you an amnesiac, just like Baroness Vanderlube, who supposedly firebombed the Reichstag February 27, 1933, to bring in martial law in Germany. He was found naked and drugged and didn't know if he'd set fire to the building, like he was going to run around the Capitol building and set more than 14 fires in it. And Hermann Göring, though, don't worry, caught him and stopped him, the big hero, who it later came out in declassified documents was the one behind it. They just finally released investigations that happened during Nuremberg. Those have been classified, but a lot of authors and researchers already knew. A few years ago, they released those. The point is, Hitler started World War II with Poland. Mainline textbooks just say, oh, he just attacked Poland. No, actually, he attacked military bases along the border, his own military bases, dressed up prisoners as Polish troops and as German troops, shot them up, and then shot newsreel footage and said Poland had attacked Germany with their World War I, pre-World War I military. It was horse-drawn carriages and guys with swords. Yeah, right. Most powerful military in the world at that time was German military, built in secret, pretty much. Secret rearmament. Rolled out, taking Danzig and other areas that had been taken by France at the end of World War I, and then they go into Poland and split it up with Uncle Joe Stalin. All done by a fake news story and shooting a few real people and then saying that they had attacked. Okay, that's how this is done. But so you can have a good patsy, like what you had with Giffords and Judge Roll, who were investigating, we've now confirmed, Fast and Furious. They were going to come out bipartisan together. They've got to be dealt with. Out comes a guy who was admittedly taking hallucinogens every day for years, hanging out with weird people, and had disappeared and told people he was under mind control. He shows up and shoots two people. They try to link it to the Tea Party. Then it turns out he was a out-of-his-mind person who was a Democrat. But that's, again, ladies and gentlemen, we're now being told by ABC and others, oh, he could be a Democrat, or no, he's Tea Party. And within hours, we predicted this. Paul Watson wrote an article this morning that's linked up on the right-hand side of DrudgeReport.com right now. Dark Knight shooting to be exploited for political grift. And then over the next few hours, AP, Reuters, CNN, Bloomberg, all of them coming out saying, Obama and Romney both need to call to restrict guns. And by the way, Romney has supported that in the past. Now he says he doesn't, but now they're saying maybe this will give him the political courage to restrict people's Second Amendment. There's our article to be exploited for political grist under it. ABC News, right underneath that, already linking Tea Party. But backtracks now. Turns out he's a Democrat. Breitbart, shooter may be registered Democrat. CNN, Piers Morgan calls for gun control. Bloomberg, what are Obama, Romney going to do about guns? Not about a totally sick society that we see. And by the way, the London Telegraph got it right. They had a 12-month-old baby in there. They had little kids in there, six-year-olds in there, four-year-olds in there. A 12-year-old got shot and killed. The shooter reportedly shot a baby at point-blank range. All of this right before the treaty that's stalling in the Senate. Obama's about to sign it, and now he gets to be the hero. And by the way, don't worry. Don't worry. I have a guy like dressed up like Bane shows up and does all this. Shooting imitates scene from 1986 Batman comic book, where a guy in a mask like Bane shows up and shoots a bunch of people at a movie theater, and then they blame Batman. Oh, and see, the movie's now being blamed. Obama leads prayer moment of silence. Supporters chant 4 more years. Yes, this is the false flag rollout. And if you don't believe it, I got a bridge I'm ready to sell you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a 9.5-minute video up at Infowars.com. Where I predicted Obama would do something like this. It's incredible.
So there's definitely enough to ask questions about both of these events. Are they related? There's people sending out stuff that the fathers of both of the shooters are connected somehow to the LIBOR scandal. I haven't seen concrete proof of that, but if you do have it, if you have some evidence out there, please send it to me at robd@infowars.com. Let's move on to an RT story. And these are the people who want to keep their guns, okay? SWAT team fires semi-automatic weapons at unarmed teenage girl. These are real tough guys. Members of the SWAT team this is in D.C. Members of a SWAT team opened fire on an unarmed teenage girl this week when police officers outside of a Washington, D.C. home attempted to serve an early morning search warrant. Myasa Hughley, 18, is recovering from flesh wounds following Thursday morning events in District Heights, Maryland. She was asleep in her bedroom at her family house when 15 FBI SWAT agents stormed the house with guns drawn. Myasa didn't have a gun, nor did any member of the Hughley household. In their minds, though, they said they saw a gun. One of them yelled, "She got a gun," so they unleashed a barrage of bullets at the girl. One agent even fired off 7 shots using a semi-automatic weapon. Emery Hughley adds, "They almost hit my daughter, man. If I haven't told her to go back in her room, they probably would have shot her. I've got 8 holes in my wall. One bullet went past my head, almost hit me, ricocheted off my brick wall, and some of the shrapnel metal hit my little daughter in the back of her neck. All for nothing." Okay, so they were serving a search warrant. They decided to fire off their weapons because these are big macho men and they wanted to shoot a little girl. Crazy stuff. I take it back. I don't know if they wanted to shoot the little girl, but they definitely thought she had a gun. Moving on to the TSA. From the TSA Out of Our Pants blog, TSA to Court. Only hear our version of the facts. And this is from John Corbett. He's the guy who's filed suit against the naked body scanners. And basically what they're saying is they only want to view the administrative record of the TSA, so they're not going to allow him to the TSA has essentially asked the court to bar discovery, experts, witnesses, and any other source of facts because the TSA knows it all, and they will present all the facts, even though they did not want to present the camera footage of when Corbett went through the scanners with a metal object. There's all kinds of stuff they don't want to produce. So they're covering it up, and they basically petitioned the court to not allow any other version of the facts other than the TSA's. Truly outrageous, and this is definitely a violation of due process. And we'll be hearing more from John Corbett in the future. Now we have a vaccine story. Vaccine bombshell. Leaked confidential document exposes 36 infants dead after this vaccine. A confidential GlaxoSmithKline document recently linked to the press exposed that within a 2-year period, a total of 36 infants died after receiving the 6-in-1 vaccine of Inferix Hexa. And what's in Inferix Hexa? Well, they got the diphtheria toxoid, the tetanus toxoid, the pertussis toxoid, 3 types of the polio virus, a recombinant HBsAg protein, 2 different types of aluminum, aluminum hydroxide, aluminum phosphate, phenylethanol, lactose, and polysorbate 80. Those are just some of the things in this shot that they want to inject your little babies with. And according to a document from GlaxoSmithKline, 36 infants died after taking it. I don't know about you, but that does not make me want to give my kids any shots. Truly disgusting. Now I want to move on to a couple pieces of news that basically I wish we were spending more of our time on instead of covering a lot of these events, but we're just covering the news as it's out there. So, and this is from the New Energy Systems Trust. We had their founder on not too long ago, Sterling Allen. MSV Explorer amphibious vehicle powered by free energy technology poised to be first to general market. British inventor and CEO Chris Garner has come up with the MSV Explorer, an amphibious vehicle that not only treks on land and through water, but is powered by an exotic free energy method that Chris Garner calls super high performance electromechanical gyro generator system. And we have some photos there. Basically, it has treads so it can ride over the sand. And then when you get to water, you can go into water and then the bubble down there pops down and you can actually kind of cruise around the ocean looking at the sights. Really amazing. Garner refers to his type of energy that it supplies self-sustaining energy. says the MSVEX have designed a super high-performance electromechanical gyrogenerator system that, according to all data, can produce more energy than is required to power it. Accordingly, we are on the edge of a breakthrough in achieving a self-sustaining energy source. This guy envisions this to be used in these type of vehicles, also in floating islands that can move on their own, have their own power. And he came up with this when he had a close encounter with a shark, and he wanted to create a system that would allow people to cruise around the ocean and look at the sights there, you know, basically without getting wet. Whilst the MSVX looks like a mini sub, it is in fact an electrically powered dual joystick controlled dry cockpit surface watercraft meticulously designed and engineered to place two observers within an acrylic cockpit below the surface of the ocean at a constant 1.2 meters with a topside principal pilot seat. Truly interesting. I can't wait to see this in action. I can't wait to get Sterling Allen on to talk about it, and we'll probably get him on in the new year. And this last piece, the vaunted hover bike. I've been talking about hover cars for a long time, and now we have a guy in, there it is right there, in Australia who's come up with this amazing piece of equipment. It's got an airspeed of around 120 KIAS. That's untested. That's kilometers. Hovers around 10,000 feet estimated. It's a dry weight of 110 kilograms, a max gross weight of 270 kilograms, total thrust of 295 kilograms, and an engine of 7,500 RPMs. It's got two little rotors there. You can see it in action there. And we definitely want to get this owner on. He said it's not ready for market yet. He's placing that stuff in there, and you could go to http://hover-bike.com. That's hover-bike.com to take a look at the hover bike, and there's the site there. And really amazing. So he's gone at the hover bike. There's a prototype. And let's see what the future holds. We're going to go to break, and we'll be back. We're going to talk with Anthony Frieda, an amazing political artist. If you get the Trends Journal, you've seen a lot of his art, and it's going to be an amazing interview. It's over 30 minutes in length, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Recently, the Harvard School of Health looked at more than a dozen scientific studies concerning fluoride and confirmed what countless other scientists have been documenting for decades. Sodium fluoride in the body reduces IQ and increases cancers. You see, the aluminum industry and the fertilizer industries would have to pay to store all the toxic waste they produce. But instead, they get our counties and cities to pay to put the poison in our water. It's not just fluoride we're getting, but lead, mercury, arsenic. The list goes on and on. And a lot of this toxic waste comes from China. Unfortunately, fluoride and its derivatives are only one of hundreds of toxins being added to our drinking water. We're battling the globalists on so many fronts. Health is an area where we can all take control of our lives, and it all starts with that basic building block of water. It is time to purify our family's water. The ProPure filtration system with added fluoride filters is the best system from my research to protect you and your family. InfoWarsStore.com already has the lowest prices on ProPure water filtration. But until December 10th, we are going to offer 15% off the already lowest price. I know what I'm giving my family this Christmas. ProPure. Go to InfoWarsStore.com and get 15% off the already lowest price out there with the code WATER15. WATER15, and you get 15% off at InfoWarsStore.com.
Christy Hightower here for a Planet InfoWars update. I know it's been a little while. I apologize. We have moved studios. We've expanded. There's been a little bit of a shift going on. So I just want to make this real quick. We've had several contests, actually, starting with the Bob Costas, thinking that he is, you know, end-all to end-all, saying that the Second Amendment should be restricted. Well, the mission, actually, that I want to talk to you about is a Planet InfoWars mission in the resistance group. And guns causing crimes is like spoons causing you to get fat. So the mission is for everyone to send a letter to Bob Costas and send him a spoon. And the contest actually is videotaping yourself writing a letter. Now, obviously, there's a little humor in here, so I hope to laugh. I expect to laugh at some of these. And send him a spoon, because we just want him to have piles of spoons. How ridiculous his comments on the Second Amendment were. So go take that. Go take that and make me laugh. And then the next, actually, that I wanted to talk to you about is in the InfoWar video reports. And this we had here in Austin, Texas, the drone mob, where we use the hashtag on Twitter, drone mob. And basically, if you were there and you filmed, we want you to go and edit your video. It doesn't even have to be that long, but whoever has the best drone mob video is going to win $1,000. So both of these are video contests. Both of these are just you getting active. I apologize if you couldn't make it to Austin, but hopefully we'll be getting to do more cool events like this in the future. And also there's actually on Infowars.com, there's more about the drone mob contest, and exactly the deadline is the 21st, and I want to say it's at midnight. So go check out those details and get those awesome videos in, because people need to know what we're up against. The drones are not a joke. This isn't going away. This is an awareness campaign. So keep that in mind as well. And lastly, on a little lighter note, this has kind of been an ongoing romance. I've actually mentioned these two before. Herbic 07 and Lady Liberty are both Planet InfoWars users, and they sent me their picture. They actually have visited each other several times now, and I want to say probably 6 months or so. And they actually met in the Freedom Lovers group there on Planet InfoWars. So it can happen to you. And since we're all moving into the holidays and it's, you know, it's cold, you want somebody to cozy up with, especially people that, you know, understand and believe and are aware like you are. So go check that out. It's not a dud, I promise. You can find love in this patriot world. So thank you again, Planet InfoWars users, for all you're doing. Hopefully we'll get an Ask Alex segment here soon. Keep up the great work, and keep talking, because we're listening.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals. But the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
We're back on the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Dew, and we're now joined by a very interesting political illustrator. He's going to be featured in next month's magazine, InfoWars Magazine. Not this version, but this is the version we have out now. This Man Wants Your Guns. Very prophetic, I think, that now we can see Obama with his crocodile tears coming after our guns. But here we have Anthony Frieda, and if you're a reader of the Trends Journal, you will notice that his art is featured throughout. We've had Gerald Celente on many times. He's given a lot of kudos. Here's an interest. I love this picture here, the next train to Auschwitz. It's got the guy with the I Love Bieber hat on, these giant soft bellies who were obviously using spoons and forks to make themselves fat. to climb onto the cars going off to the FEMA camps and kiss those calories goodbye. Anyway, Anthony Frieda, he does art for The New Yorker, Rolling Stone, Esquire, Business Week, Playboy, The New York Times, and other publications. And, you know, and I guess there's nothing more to say. We're going to get into this interview now. Anthony Frieda, how are you doing today, sir?
Good, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's been quite a news day. I've been furiously editing and shooting videos in the, behind the scenes, and now I'm sitting here talking to you. I've been looking forward to this interview because you really do have some interesting art that you've put together. You mix a lot of different styles. I'm on your email list, and I get stuff every week, and I'm really happy that we're going to be featuring you in next month's InfoWars magazine. But, you know, tell us, I guess, let's start off on the event that's on everybody's mind right now is this current gun situation that's going on, you know, with the tragedy that happened in Connecticut. What are your feelings about this situation?
Well, the issues concerning me that are very disturbing to me about just our society in general are the way we train our children to be shooters. By a very early age, we get them addicted to these first-person shooter games. We have a culture that is soaked in blood, and our entertainment has become horrific in many ways. Our foreign policy is a foreign policy based on war crimes and targeting and assassinating civilians. And we also have this problem where we have children being put on multiple psychotropic drugs, many of which have not even been subjected to long-term studies. So we don't even know what the side effects are 10 years down the road. Yet, we approve these drugs and we put our children on them. I mean, what kind of society does that to their own children? These are the things that concern me, and these are the big picture ideas that show us that something's wrong. We're doing something very detrimental, and it turns up in these bizarre ways in these horrific episodes.
Well, and notice nobody's calling for a ban of these first-person shooter games, even though that on itself would be ridiculous. Even though I agree it is a form of mind control, I've played those games, and you get into a frenzy where you're just looking for your next target, and you're not worried about anything else. You're not worried about the phone ringing. You know, you just want to keep going and get to the next target, finish the mission, finish the level. And it's that type of conditioning. It's definitely conditioning and dog training. I mean, that's their preferred method to keep us in line. Yeah. And, you know, but there's no call for that. There's no call for looking at what kind of drugs this guy was on or the shooter in Aurora who also played a lot of video games. You know, we're never looking at those. It's always the gun. It's always the tool that you use to protect yourself. That's also the tool to keep tyranny out of your life.
Well, these are all common threads. Isn't it true that every one of the school shooters going back to Columbine, they had these things in common? They were on psychotropic drugs. Either they got it off their meds too quick and had a psychotic break, and they were all obsessed with this culture of violence and these first-person shooter games. I mean, isn't that a common thread? From what I understand, it's pretty much 100%.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely it. And then, you know, in these latest two shootings, well, in Aurora, you definitely have the Defense Department DARPA connections. And then in this latest shooting, there's news reports, there's video from AP on the web now showing the police going into the woods and getting another guy. There's news reports about it, yet we never hear anything about this guy since that happened. Since those news reports came out, it was like he disappeared. There's supposedly quotes from him saying, "I didn't do it. I didn't shoot anybody." And they even talk about his description being in a black jacket and camo pants. And then we have, there's also CB radio transmissions that are out there. And the police are talking about, "We've got them. We've got them. I see two shadows running against the gym wall." I mean, all kind of crazy stuff. But, you know, that all gets swept away because, wait, it's just one guy. It's just one 20-year-old kid who is kind of a nerd and kind of clumsy, yet now he's this amazing super soldier that could go in and, you know, wipe out a part of a school. And you have the law enforcement, local law enforcement there have come out and put videos out saying, "Hey, we don't, anybody out there on social media who's putting out false information, we're going to prosecute you. We're going to go after you." But what's false information? People are just putting out information for, you know, us to look at because we don't trust the media. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, that was very disturbing. I heard about that report. And I think the only silver lining in this horrible, horrible nightmare is that people are talking about these larger issues, like we were discussing. And people all sense that our society has gone awry. Something's not right. I mean, why are these things happening? And why were there never school shootings before? And now there is, you know? I mean, how are these things correlate? When video games that are first-person shooter and psychotropic drugs were introduced into the population, we started seeing these episodes. So I think that's interesting to me, and that's the fact that people are, at least some people are talking about it and bringing consciousness and awareness to these ideas can make us question where we're going down the road and what the future holds and what we're doing to our children and the future of this country.
Yeah, that is a good question, and a lot of people aren't talking about that. They're, you know, I think it creates this victim mentality where they train kids to be afraid of guns instead of to empower them, teach them how to shoot. You know, teach kids when they're 8, 9 years old, get them a BB gun, then go up to the 22, and then you move your way up, and you teach these kids gun safety at an early age. One, you won't have those gun accidents that do take lives from kids because they're not trained with them. And then, you know, it empowers them later on in life to get a concealed carry and maybe defend somebody in a situation like this, because there was two shootings that happened this week. The one at the Oregon Mall was stopped by a guy who flashed his gun at the shooter, and then it seems like these guys have been programmed. When they see a gun, you know, that's a trigger for them to go shoot themselves in the head and end it. And then there was another one at a restaurant in San Antonio near a movie theater, where the guy shot two people, and then he was taken out by a female off-duty police officer. So, you know, there's two instances where guns stopped a larger carnage right there. That should tell you, you know, at least it levels the playing field. You look at the school, there's no guns there at the school. You look at Israeli schools, the teachers are packing. You look at Switzerland. I've been to Switzerland. I've seen what these people have in their basements. They have submachine guns, flak jackets, and helmets. They're ready for if anybody invades, and they're all trained on using guns. And there's no gun fear in those cultures. There's gun empowerment because they understand they need guns as a tool. It's like a shovel to them. It's just another tool to use. And I think our country is used to glamorizing it in movies with all the violence. And I'm getting on my soapbox now, but how do you feel about the issues I've just raised?
I wasn't brought up in a gun culture. I wasn't exposed to it. But like I said, the other issues to me are paramount. And I think that, like I say, the only thing that I could see that's interesting or positive here is that we're discussing these things.
Right. Well, let's move on. Let's move on to your artwork. You've got some, so I got this Trends Journal here. We showed, your one from the autumn issue, which was the Lesser of Two Evils. It's got the two-headed devil of Romney and Obama. And, yeah, there it is. I guess they're kind of vampire devils. But anyway, what got you into creating this political-type artwork? What was your awakening in this process, and how long ago was it?
I've always been interested in political art, and as a child, I was always fascinated by political cartoons and drawn to them when I saw them in the newspaper. I became an illustrator, and I was doing mainly advertising and editorial art that really wasn't politically oriented. I started in the 90s doing some political work, but I really didn't have an awakening until I witnessed 9/11 happen from my house, my apartment on Houston Street in New York City, and not far from Ground Zero. I watched the whole thing happen, all the events of that day, and that profoundly influenced me. It made me focus my art on events and ideas that were outside of the mainstream government narrative. And I think that was my initial awakening. And I didn't become aware of Alex Jones until I got a job from the Village Voice, which was the story was called Fakes on a Plane. And it was kind of just describing this nascent 9/11 truth movement. And I was given this illustration assignment to illustrate it. And part of the background I did was go to the InfoWars website and do some research. And when I first turned it on, it was just so foreign to me. It was like he was speaking a different language. And the more I listened to it, the more it kind of made sense. And the more I started questioning my own beliefs and my own kind of prejudices and just ingrained programming. And I had this slow awakening, and that's really where it all started, from an illustration assignment.
Wow. Let's go back to 9/11 real quick. When you were watching those events unfold, did anything at the time seem out of the ordinary to you? Did you actually see the planes hit, or
I saw the second plane hit. The first plane hit, and I thought a truck had crashed into my building because it was reverberation through my building. I looked out the window to the north. I didn't see anything. I looked out the window to the south, and I saw smoke coming from the Twin Towers. And a chill went down my spine. I just knew something really profound just happened. I didn't know what it was, but I went up to my roof, and I watched the rest of the day's events unfold. I watched the second plane crash into the other tower. And, I mean, it was like a movie. It was just... It was shattering to me.
Did you notice any you know, there was reports of this white plane, this kind of Learjet type plane flying around. Did you ever see that?
I didn't see that, but the one thing at the time I wasn't really questioning anything. I mean, I was just in shock. But
right.
The one thing that I thought was odd was not long after it happened. I lived on Houston Street, and it's a main street, and there was this. This line of trucks to pick up the debris from the site, and there must have been, I don't know, a couple hundred of them, of these government dump trucks,
yeah.
And they just came out of nowhere, like they were ready to go on site. And I don't know if anybody's ever talked about this before. I witnessed it. I have pictures of it. And it was just odd that they were so prepared and so ready and so quick to be on the scene to pick up debris from an accident that they didn't know was going to happen, or a tragedy they didn't know was going to happen.
Yeah, I actually, somebody sent me video of that last week, and two people sent it to me. One was a really good friend of mine, and then another was just, you know, an info warrior through my regular email. So I got it from two different sources, and they're like, have you seen this? Have you guys covered this? And it was, the video was put up in 2011, and it's people talking about the dump trucks. They're like, why are these dump trucks here already? What's going on? And even the people were questioning it at the time because it's just so out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
Why would you have dump trucks at the scene an hour after it happened? Two hours after it happened?
I saw that. And at the time, like I said, I was not aware. So it was a minor question in my mind. Like, that doesn't quite make sense. But it was just one, you know, piece of the puzzle that started coming together and snowballing into an awareness that I have today.
Wow. Did you see Building 7 fall?
I did.
And I was on my roof. Yeah.
The late afternoon, that evening when it fell. And that, I'm still trying to understand how a building that was not hit by a plane, had minor damage, fell perfectly into its footprint. And I watched that fall.
Well, you shouldn't ask those questions because that wasn't even covered in the 9/11 Commission report. And they didn't even cover why, you know, that plane fell. That was just sort of a... Well, you know, those things happen in those type of crises. I guess that's what they want us to think.
They've never happened before in history, but they happened that day.
Yeah. How did you meet Gerald Celente, and what got you? You're basically the artist in the Trends Journal. You've got, I like this picture of a guy walking off of the shoreline, and he's walking, about to walk on a landmine for 2013. That's an interesting one. You've got the free speech zone, which is a very small square surrounded by cameras. I mean, you've really got your handle on what is going on in America and what is going on in the world geopolitically. You know, how did you meet Gerald, and how did that relationship come
I just
about?
I actually heard Gerald on Alex's show, and I was drawn to him. And I was initially drawn to Alex and Gerald both because they were such fierce critics of the Bush administration policies and their obvious destruction of our civil liberties and their torture and war crimes and lies. And that's really what drew me to both of those men. And just I just like the way that they were able to communicate these ideas in a way that's, and entertaining is the wrong idea, the wrong word, but it's not a way that's just preachy or didactic. It's actually engaging, and they use black humor to kind of temper the message. And I wanted to do the same, the equivalent of that in a visual form, or, you know, create imagery that's compelling and powerful and talk about these very serious ideas, but do it in a way that's, you know, is tempered by humor. And I think Gerald does that, I think Alex does that, and I appreciate that. And I think it makes it more palatable and makes it more powerful at the same time. You know, that nexus where comedy and tragedy meet is where things get interesting, I think.
I totally agree. We were just showing some of your artwork, and you've got St. George Obama slaying the Osama bin Laden dragon. Yeah. And, you know, it's just, you've really got a knack for creating, taking an iconic image and sort of changing it over to fit, you know, a current political message. And, you know, and Osama's there with his turban on, his tongue sticking out. I mean, it's just really interesting stuff. You did a TSA screening opt-out poster for our contest with the glove with the turkey on it. You know, you really seem to have your finger on the pulse. Have you felt like putting out this type of artworks made you more popular in the general art world, or have you felt a backlash for kind of speaking out?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, obviously we have a partisan divide in this country where you got to pick a team. And I don't pick a team. I you know, I'm with Gerald on the whole political atheist point of view. I think both teams are corrupt, and I don't know why it's better when Democrats torture and commit war crimes than when the Republicans do it. I don't understand that logic. That's irrational to me. That's based on emotion rather than any sort of objective analysis of reality. And that is, but those are very deeply ingrained, those partisan tribal connections that people have. They can't shake them very easily. So it's very hard for people to think, if I do a piece that's critical of Obama, even though it's a piece that's criticizing the same policies that he's embraced that were Bush-era policies, they think that I'm somehow, I must love Mitt Romney.
Or yeah.
Right. These generalized assessments about me that are not true. And for some reason, it's very hard for people to see a bigger picture, a more objective picture. And I think partisan politics is just so boring and predictable and shallow and mean-spirited to me that I want to do something that's beyond that and looks at the bigger picture, looks at the continuity of agenda, looks at how, you know, not a lot's changed. And a lot of people that were very upset about Bush's abuses of our civil liberties and his war crimes are now don't seem to care.
It suddenly became okay to kill children with drones and to you know, invade other countries and depose dictators that we don't like, even though we put them in power originally. And yeah, that suddenly became all trendy to be for that. Once Obama came into office, it was like it was justified. Yeah. And I've found most of my friends are awake, but I do meet, you know, I run into people a lot who are totally blinded by this stuff and, you know, trying to, oh, you're using that as a source, you know, because it's a conservative publication. Oh, it's totally, you know, you can't be using that conservative publication as a source because they're talking about Fast and Furious, which I'm kind of for, and I didn't think it was a big deal. You know, people have been brainwashed into thinking Fast and Furious is nothing but a list.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a list. They're running guns to Mexico. It's proven. They're running grenades into Mexico. Yeah. And they're doing it to demonize the Second Amendment. And whether you're for the Second Amendment or against it, you should be for it because it is going to take away your right. That's the only thing that keeps the government in check is the fact that we have millions of guns and they only have hundreds of thousands of guns or maybe a million guns. We have millions.
Well, like I say, the hypocrisy of a government that is talking about killing children and lecturing people about it and saying they need to enact laws against it while they slaughter children all over the world and commit war crimes and with impunity and torture people. That's what really gets me, that hypocrisy. You know, who are you to have the moral high ground to say what is done in a violent manner when your violence is much more prevalent? I mean, we're killing people in 8 countries right now. What other country is doing that? We're drone bombing children in schools and torturing people in black CIA sites all over the world.
Yep.
And we're going to lecture people about killing. I mean, our government's going to lecture the people of this country.
Who had nothing to do with the killing. We didn't go there and shoot those kids. We're appalled by it, you know?
Very odd to make, you know, the general public feel guilty about something. When you're a war criminal, I think you should hold your tongue. You know, like that really, it's just too much.
Yeah, Obama getting up there with his fake tears and saying about how much love he has for children and how much love and how we need to have the whole village raise the child. And it takes, I mean, that speech, we've got a video coming out tomorrow, and it is literally, as he's talking about his love for children, we're showing news articles and tweets of drone bombings that are killing children in photographs. I mean, it's horrible what this guy has done.
Rob, this is why it's so important for America to have the moral high ground. I mean, we didn't use to torture.
Yeah.
We upheld civil liberties. We had a Fourth Amendment, a Fifth Amendment, a First Amendment. These things were important to us, you know, and they were important for a reason. So we could go to other dictatorships who do horrible things and say, you know, we can lecture them about it. But now it's so hypocritical for us to lecture these other countries while we're doing all the things that we say that they're horrible for doing. I mean, the hypocrisy is staggering. And unfortunately, most people can't see it because they take it as being un-American. And to me, it's not being un-American to want to uphold the values that made this country great and special and the freedoms that are afforded to us in the Bill of Rights. These are important things, and we're just throwing them all away wholesale in exchange for this, you know, idea that it's going to give us more security. And it's sad and it's tragic, and I wish we could maintain the moral high ground. I know we can do better. And my criticisms of our leaders are not criticisms of the American people. I want to make that clear. Some people think I'm un-American. I'm not. I think America can do better. And I think pointing out the crimes and the abuses and the encroachments on our civil liberties, these things, by pointing these out, doesn't make you a bad American. It makes you a good American. And we can do better. We have done better. And we can, by pointing these things out, make people aware of it and hopefully move in a better direction.
Well, we're facing a multi-pronged attack, and it's led by the mainstream media. It's led by, you know, just watching television in general over and over again. That's going to rot your brain. But, you know, and these political figures who try to keep you into this, you know, World Wrestling Federation two-party system. If the messages that we put out on InfoWars, which are mainly liberty and, you know, fiscal conservatism and having your personal rights, if that was preached on the nightly news, we would have a completely different country than we do now. And the reason it's not is because these people, they want you to be victims. They want you to be stupid. They want to sell the message and the talking point over and over again because it really, because they lie so much, they have to keep hammering it, hammering and hammering us with that message where we just have to go, look, here's what really happened. Here's what other people are saying. Here's what other, you know, and that's all we're doing. And we don't have a tenth of the budget that the mainstream media has, and more people, I think there's more people out there, when they see what we're doing, they're like, yeah, you guys got it. You guys understand the big game. And a lot of it's, you know, above most people. So you just try to wake up the ones who are willing to be woken up at this point.
People, listen, I think a lot of people are tired of being lied to. I mean, my God, we know now that all those Pentagon talking heads that were on CNN, and, you know, on the run up to the Iraq war, were lying to us. They're being paid by the Pentagon to read Pentagon scripts. We know the New York Times was printing pieces about Yellow Creek uranium and ties to Al Qaeda and all of these lies that were fed to them by the Pentagon, which they dutifully reported without any independent investigation. And I think this is the basic problem. You got a media that is complicit in, promoting lies that take us into these wars without any kind of investigation into whether they're true or not. They get handed these scripts from the Pentagon, and they promote them to the world. And most people walk around regurgitating them as if it was, you know, this script from Katie Couric was handed down from God.
Right.
It's just, they never question who wrote that script that Katie Couric is reading off of her teleprompter.
Well, and their excuse is we need to get this access. I'm sorry, go ahead. I interrupted you. Go ahead.
You know, they won't question what Katie Couric says. Well, if you on InfoWars write something, man, they're going to question that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, where did you get that information?
Where do you get off saying that?
From The View? From Katie Couric? You know, your media is discredited. Your media lied since Iraq. A million people died there for nothing because you believed the bull that they gave you. I didn't believe it. And while they were, while Katie Couric was lying to the world, Dan Rather and all these other people, and Wolf Blitzer, you guys are telling the truth. I go with who is proven to be a truth teller. And while they were saying, the mainstream media was saying that the bombs are coming and the mushroom clouds and there's ties to Al-Qaeda and, you know, we have to give up all rights, start this war or we're all going to die. You guys are saying it's all bull.
Exactly.
But who has poor integrity? Who has proven that they know what's going on?
There you go. Hey, let's jump to Sandy. You actually lived through Sandy. Did you evacuate or did you stay and ride out the storm?
We were in a mandatory evacuation area, and we went up to my parents' house, which was a little bit higher elevation, but... Yeah, we were out of services about 3 weeks. It was pretty crazy around here. I live right across from harbor here, Mount Sinai Harbor. But, you know, obviously some people on Long Island got just destroyed. I mean, I know people, their houses were destroyed and really, really horrible tragedy. We were lucky. We just had some inconvenience, really.
Mm-hmm. And what did you see a FEMA response that you thought was adequate, or what did you see from FEMA?
I didn't see anything. I don't know. I mean, I saw mostly people helping themselves and trying to get their lives back together that way.
Yeah, people coming together. That's usually the way it is. It's churches stepping in and feeding people. When Hurricane Rita, that was the second hurricane of that season that not a lot of people talk about, but it destroyed my hometown.
Yeah.
Destroyed huge, beautiful pine trees that, you know, 12 feet around. I mean, maybe like 60 feet in the air. Tons of pine trees just taken out. Tons of old oaks. I mean, just destroyed this place. We lost almost 40% of the trees in the area. And it used to be you couldn't really see the sun because it was so shady and there was trees everywhere. And now it ain't like that anymore. And, you know, the people that came out and helped, in the beginning were churches that set up from the north. They came down and set up at the local churches, and they set up and they fed people. They were giving people supplies.
Yeah.
People were showing up. The one thing I do have to hand it to, the Army did show up and clear out the roads really quickly. They came in there with chainsaws, and within 2 days, all the roads were clear. But we weren't as big of a metropolitan area as New Orleans, not nearly as big, and that's probably why the damage wasn't as bad. But I never saw FEMA once while I was there. I never saw one FEMA truck. I never saw one FEMA personnel. And, you know, these people, they just leave you out to dry. They're a giant bureaucracy, and they're really set up to just, I think, set up this prison system for when, you know, the SH does hit the fan. They're going to be right there. Oh, we're here now. Everybody get on the FEMA truck. We're going to take you to the camp. And we have movies there and rock stars, and you're going to love it. But you're never getting out. You know, we didn't tell you that. And it kind of harkens back to your cover there, Next Train to Auschwitz, All Aboard. Yeah.
Well, that was Gerald's idea. And actually, I have to make it clear that some of the artwork I do, Gerald has done with my amazingly talented artistic partner, Dan Zollinger. And he's been a big part of what I do. You know, I have a lot of work that comes in. I do editorial work, advertising art, and the political art, which is more a labor of love. He's kind of my right-hand man and has been an incredible asset. And he contributes a lot to the work some of the work that you've seen. But yeah, that was Gerald's idea. And I love working with Gerald because he has these great ideas and I could try to turn them into an image. Same with Alex. Alex has inspired some of my imagery by his descriptions or his ideas. So,
hey, we have your site up right now, anthonyfrieda.com. Can people actually go there and purchase some of your art, or what do you have going on there?
Yeah, you can purchase prints of any of my work. If you can send me an email, I'll make sure, you know, we can do that. There's also, I have a print site, and I have Thumbtack Press is more affordable prints. If people are interested, there's a link to that too.
Well, I think this is some, you know, people should support artists and art that they find is actually making a difference. You know, we've had another guy on Mirror One who does a lot of political murals. His big thing is using spray paint and making these incredible murals. And I tell you, he is really, you know, just jumping into the stratosphere because he goes out and puts stuff up in neighborhoods like overseas in England, and the people want to kill him because he's drawing a giant pyramid with an eye on it the first day. And they want to wring him off the ladder and beat him up. And then he's like, they're like, well, you got to write something on here. And he's like, the New World Order is nothing but lies. And, yeah. You know, and, but with his art, he's able to take these people and totally like, you know, not wake them up because these people are already awake, but like, yes, you know, there's other people out there with these ideas, and we need to use art to transfer these images and get these theories out there, because, you know, that's one of the things that they, you know, and it takes a lot of effort to pull down a mural or take a piece of art down, you know, if everybody's putting it up and get that message out there. And that's the kind of thing that unifies people, because people are unified by, you know, a common theme.
Absolutely.
And we see these things out there. So you're just putting out what people are thinking, you know, in a tangible form. So I got to commend you on that.
Well, thank you. And obviously, you know, the image is a powerful thing. I mean, a lot of totalitarian states, the Nazis, the Italian Mussolini government, the Chi-Coms, they all used art and propaganda, visual imagery, to great effect. And they took the best designers, artists in their societies, and they put them to use to create propaganda. And it was powerful work. So we can, you know, I think we, as freedom lovers, we can do the same thing. We can hopefully bring together the best artists that are like-minded. And we have this leverage now with the internet where I can get my work seen by millions of people. And I volunteer my services to a lot of websites that I think are doing good work, working in the causes of peace and freedom. You know, I don't even want any compensation. And I think a lot of artists are more worried about, you know, if they're going to make any money, or they don't want their image being taken and just expropriated. I think the message is important, and I think that these issues are important. So to me, if somebody wants to take my image and run with it, God bless.
I agree. The message is important, and that's the way people become big, is by letting other people take their work and run with it. When you try to hoard your stuff and say, don't listen to my music unless you pay for it, or don't look at my poster, or don't watch my video unless you buy, you know, the DVD. Over here, Alex has been giving away his DVDs on the web. The day they come out, boom, he asks you to support him. And that's what, you know, that's what you should do. If you like an artist, you should support that artist, because that's the way they're able to make more art. So, you know.
Generosity of spirit and generosity with your work is, I think, will come back to you in life, and I think is a good way to live your life.
Anthony, I want to give you the final word on this. Where are we going as a country, and can we change this? Can we wake up enough people, and what's it going to take?
I think it's going to take, I think the greatest tool for humanity is alternative media, citizen journalism, journalism that's not funded by the Pentagon, that's not funded by corporate interests and drug companies and defense companies. And I think that we have this power now. We have this leverage power where one person online can say, no, you're lying, Katie Couric, and here's why you're lying. And this is unheard of in human history. This is a great time for free humanity. We have this power, as long as they don't take it away from us. And we can use it. We can use it with art and with ideas and with citizen journalism, and put the truth out there and have people make up their mind. They make up their own mind. You want to believe Katie Couric and the people who lied us into Iraq, or you want to listen to what we have to say over here? And I think that this is the greatest time in history for the truth to come out. They might take it away from us. They might pull the rug out from under us. But while we have this opportunity, we have to take advantage of it.
Totally agree. That's very well said. Thanks for coming on the show, and we will talk to you soon. We're talking off the air, and it'd be great to have you in studio and show more of your artwork out there. Keep on trucking with the Chin's Journal, and we'll see you next time.
Peace, man.
All right.
Take care, Rob.
Yep. Well, that was Anthony Frieda of AnthonyFrieda.com. He's also an artist on the Trends Journal and other publications out there. You can check out Gerald's excellent site. It's TrendsJournal.com, TrendsJournal.com, as he says. And he will be featured in next month's InfoWars magazine. We have an exclusive interview, and we're going to be showing some artwork, some of which we showed on the screen as we were going through there. Oh, and we had sold out of these, but what we did was we sent the people that distribute the magazine around to see if there was any left. And they actually came back with I think about 1,500 more. So if you want to get this issue or sign up for a subscription, which we also send you the back issues that we have, the guys are just doing that. They're throwing in these into these envelopes that are kind of prepaid. You pay one fee and you can send as much as you want. So they're sending in those back issues as well. So you can catch up with all the issues of the InfoWars magazine, which, let me tell you, it keeps getting better and better. And I mean, this issue, it was spot on. I mean, we put that issue out, a few weeks ago, and now you can see it happening now. They are coming for our guns. That's why I like to wear this shirt here. The Hitler, Mao, and Stalin. Mass murderers agree gun control works. And pretty soon we'll be able to stick Obama right here. And, you know, if Mitt Romney would have won, we would be able to stick him there. It's all the same. You know, it doesn't matter. These guys exploit these crises, whether they create them or not, for their own benefit. And it's never for our benefit. It's always for more control and for more tyranny for them, and less control and less power for us. And I like what Anthony said there at the end, how, you know, you could get on with the internet now and Katie Couric says something and you could prove her wrong instead of just yelling at your TV like, you know, you did in the old days, like my dad used to do. You could just go online and type in, oh no, here's the link to the drones actually killing 178 kids. Oh wow, that's what the new study comes out. And that's just the ones that we've killed in Pakistan since Obama's been in office. And, you know, it just keeps going on and on. I've got a great video coming out tomorrow. With Alex's help, we're going to put this thing together, and it really shows, we're calling it the hypocrite in chief. And man, it just shows this man is pandering to you right now. So if you believe a word he says, don't. And with that, also get your subscription to prisonplanet.tv. That's where you can see us here live. We put the news out 7 p.m. Central every day. You also have, you know, the Alex Jones Show live during the day. You've got the movies, the books, Alex Rants, our special reports. I mean, we've redesigned it. It's coming. It's definitely out there. It's coming to the next level. We are putting out the alternative media, and it's there for you. And now you can share your passcode with up to 10 people total. That's 10 people for the price of one. An amazing deal. Only $6, $5.95 a month. Get on prisonplanet.tv and send that passcode out to your friends and family and wake them up. Just say, hey, check this out. I've got you the passcode. It's a site now that you can get on and get your news and information. So when people are sending you their talking points at the water cooler, you can judo them back with some truth. And that's the show today. I'm Rob Dew. You can email me at robd@infowars.com. I love seeing your tips, your suggestions. In fact, the story we covered today on the hover bike was something that one of our listeners sent me. And I like hover bikes. So I'm waiting for those to be out there in the market, because I'm going to get one and I'm going to fly. And with that, that's the news. And we'll see you tomorrow night. I believe it'll be Miss Melissa Melton sitting in and covering the news and I think we're going to have the drone hacker here who we featured in a special report. He's going to be in studio. And we'll be covering all this gun news, this gun confiscation and this demonization as it unfolds. And with that, good night.